This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Here we go. It is hour number two with the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a great day. Brian brought us our Cowboys insider, our Mavs insider, and also an election insider for you today. Okay, so stick around. We know that he reported last hour that the first exit polls are going to start becoming public news at about 4 o'clock Texas time.
Yeah, we've got the polls will be closing in Indiana and in Kentucky. So maybe some of the first results that we'll see, on the election is coming from those states.
Right on. We all get in and vote. I did today. Had to vote up some cool stuff for Sunnyvale.
Oh, nice.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I got the vote in on Friday.
It was actually pretty quick.
I got there right after it opened at 7. It was probably 10 minutes. Boom, boom, bang. Easy money.
Yeah, I know. You see the news stories of the long lines and stuff. And so I was giving myself a little bit extra time, but I was in and out, maybe 5 or 6 minutes or so. Had a nice conversation with a gentleman in the parking lot. They were advocating for different causes, you know. So, yeah, it was a...
Did you intently listen? Did you sit there and nod your head a lot? Like
I did.
You know how I do it. Like when I'm not interested, but I nod my head a lot, kind of like I act like I'm interested.
Yes. Mm. I was hoping he was going to try to intimidate me into something, right? I was hoping I could be like, have that election day story. Like, man, I got out of my car and this dude like bodied me up and was like, I know who you're voting for, son. And I was like, no, please leave me alone. But that didn't happen. He was just, he was just very passionate about the different things they were trying to get built there in the school district.
I was watching some videos at the break and like, I guess the gentleman who's in charge of all the voting in the city of Philadelphia.
Yeah.
There's like all kinds of things and potential problems and all that. And he basically said, hey, if you want to cause problems, F around and do it. Dropped the F-bomb.
Challenged him a little bit.
KMC played that audio.
I dare you.
He challenged these people like, F around. Yeah. You want to do something?
F around and find out.
Yeah. So, yeah, everybody's taking this, they're taking their duty pretty seriously right now.
817 says, make sure you read the printout. He had an error on his printout compared to what he voted for. Ooh. So I know people are they're watchdogging that. Sure. I don't think you can get away with any hijinks with how many people are looking over the shoulders and whatnot this go around. But who knows? It could just be the beginning of another election saga, old Chuck. And I know you're looking forward to talking about some pigskin, so take it away with our NFL news of the day.
All right, it was trade deadline day today as well. We know the Cowboys didn't make their move
done.
To get wide receiver Mingo. Yep, it's over. It's done now. No more moves for the Cowboys. They did go ahead and cut Andrew Booth, the corner, whom they did trade for, in that swap with Nashawn Wright with the with bringing in Mingo, basically. What was the word I was looking for, though? Like you bring in
acquisition?
The acquisition. The acquisition.
Go.
Thank you.
Acquisition.
The acquisition. Commandos, though, made a big trade. Probably the headline move of the day, getting cornerback Marshon Lattimore from New Orleans. Commanders are trading 2025 picks in the third and fourth rounds. Also gave up a 2025 sixth rounder in a previous trade that they got this summer. Also threw in former Cowboy John Ridgeway. In addition, Lattimore going to Washington. Commanders also getting a 2025 fifth. So they wanted to get a corner. They certainly got probably the best one on the market in Marshon Lattimore from New Orleans. So a big move there within the division for Washington. Pittsburgh was wheeling and dealing today. They finally got a wide receiver. They'd been hunting wide receivers all offseason long. We thought maybe Brandon Ayuk would be a Pittsburgh Steeler at one point. He wasn't. Now they trade for former Charger, former Jets wide receiver Mike Williams in exchange for a fifth-round pick.
Well, they wanted Christian Kirk from the Jags, but then so he broke the collarbone. Yeah. And they're like, well, crap, I guess we have to go get Mike Williams
now.
This sucks.
I guess the Chargers were also looking into bringing Williams back, but that one didn't work out. So Steelers get him for a five. They also added veteran pass rusher Preston Smith from the Packers for a seventh round selection.
There you go.
Steelers gearing up for a big wild card loss, man.
Good moves. Good you moves love there for Pittsburgh. Apparently, Anthony Richardson.
Mike Tomlin over 500 for the 19th straight year.
That's his
like
Super
that.
Bowl. No that's doubt. His Super Bowl now.
Anthony Richardson was off limits in trades. People were calling Indianapolis like, hey, if you guys are done with him, we'd be willing to take a flyer. Colts said no. We're not going to go ahead and trade him yet. Not done.
We're going to get him in shape first and boost up his stock.
Yeah. I mean, did you see him yawning on the sideline during Sunday Night Football?
I felt bad for him there. I mean, who hasn't yawned at an inopportune time? But right there,
picking on the guy.
Great producer work. Like, they sensed it coming. Like, hey, let's pan over to Anthony Richardson, see what he's
doing. See that yawn over there? Hasn't even taken a snap.
He's got those sleepy eyes. Let's catch him yawning.
Rams traded former Bill cornerback Tre'Davious White and a 2027 seventh round pick to the Ravens. Ravens are adding some corner help, and the Ravens send a 2026 seventh rounder. So a lot of low round picks here being traded away.
Except within the division here.
The Cowboys four pretty high. Yeah. And I mean the Commanders, yep, they threw in a three. They threw in a three to go ahead and get Marshawn Lattimore in that deal as well. So I mean a lot of movement happening today. The Cowboys one probably seeming the least of the sexy. Yesterday I did hint that it seemed like Za'Darius Smith. It was all but done. Him going to Detroit, that was finalized today as well. So Za'Darius Smith will go to the Lions as they are hopeful that maybe Aiden Hutchinson could come back for a Super Bowl game. That would be crazy if he was able to do so. What a moment that would be. And then our buddy Khalil Herbert from the Super Bowl, running back, goes to the Bengals as Zach Moss is hurt there. So they went ahead and got the Chicago Bears runner Khalil Herbert. They'll pair him with Chase Brown. So a lot of movement happening on the trade front today. I'd say the teams that probably got better in terms of their trades the most, the Commanders definitely, you look at that. And I do like the two moves the Steelers made. I mean, big picture in the AFC, do I now view them better than the Bills, Chiefs, Ravens? No. But they did help their football team with those two moves that they made, really not giving up much for Mike Williams and Preston Smith, both needs for them on their roster. So, busy trade deadline. I mean, this is kind of fun in the NFL now. It used to be like nothing happens.
Yeah.
Now we actually have moves.
We got a little something going on. I wish the Cowboys would have the foresight to get in on the Diggs trade there instead of Lattimore. Dan Quinn.
Hey, DQ,
get Diggs back,
want your money back?
She's your guy.
Yeah.
What'd they end up getting?
They got a third and a fourth in Ridgeway.
You would do that for a three and a four?
For Diggs?
Yeah.
I would.
Wow. I just think you need good players, you know, and they need to get rid of some of their players. But I'm looking for older guys with worse contracts, you know, and I'm betting that, you know, Diggs is going to return to his intercepting ways as soon as that front gets put back together well.
Yeah, I'm hopeful. I mean, the coverage, he did have a nice PBU early in the game against Atlanta. Like, the coverage stuff with him, I think, eventually, like, you'll see him get better post-injury. But I get the physicality when it comes to tackling. I mean, that's always been something where he's really wanted to do.
I'll tell you, though, the last two games, though, if you look at the stats and stuff, they'll run tackles, and maybe some of them he's had to make because they're coming his direction.
Yeah.
But, you know, he had, like, four last week against the 49ers, and then, you know, this week against the Atlanta, he had, you know, three as well. So maybe he's, you know, having to do that, but at least it's not one or zero there.
Right. It's like, hey, I'm just totally going to run the other way in this situation. Yeah. Jason
just
Kelce.
Just run stops. Yeah. Just run stops.
Just try it. Just at least, you know, deter the – try and set the edge as best you can. Try and get some rallying help from your teammates.
Would you do that deal, Wolchuk?
I really was trying to get a two, and, like, maybe they would have done a two instead of a three and a four that you could get, but –
three and a four is pretty good compensation.
It is good compensation.
I'm not going to be able to pay Bland as well. If I had more information on this foot for Deron Bland and like he was going to be okay and we were confident that he'd still be the same player, I think I would have maybe just moved it for the contract help here, for the cap space help.
Yeah,
I would have considered doing it.
You know, if you're willing to do it for a 3 and a 4, I'll take your 2, is what I would think about. Yeah, I mean I'd make it pretty easy for you. Hey, let's just straight do it for the 2.
Like a 2 in Ridgeway.
Yeah, you just got to think about who on that board, and they know better who will be on that board likely in the second round at corner. And you have to ask yourself, is there a better second round corner on that board than what you have with Diggs?
Yeah, and they used a 2 on Diggs. You're kind of getting that pick back in a way. Now it would be in division.
60th overall.
Yeah, so
that pick.
But 2-on-4 like Diggs over Bland. Hey, we haven't seen Bland play this year, so I hear you. I mean, maybe they'd let Bland walk and go somewhere else. But Bland's got some versatility, being able to play inside, outside. I don't know. There's probably a lot of fans out there that wouldn't want him to make that move. I'm just looking at this cap space. I mean, you're not going to be able to pay all these guys. So what's the best way to kind of maneuver this? Jason Kelce issued an apology.
For slamming a phone?
He did.
Did he buy the guy a new phone?
Of course, he had to talk about it. You know, Monday Night Football, he's on the pregame show there, and the incident happened, Ohio State, Penn State. Eric, you told us about it yesterday. Just grabbed that dude's phone and slammed it on the ground. He was, you know, yelling some slurs about his brother. And, you know, Jason didn't react to it well, and here was what he had to say about it on ESPN.
You know, listen, I think everybody's seen on social media everything that took place this week.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not happy with anything that took place. I'm not proud of it. And, you know, in a heated moment, I chose to greet hate with hate. And I just don't think that that's a productive thing. I really don't. I don't think that, you know, it leads to discourse and it's the right way to go about things. And in that moment, I fell down to a level that I shouldn't have. So I think the bottom line is, you know, I want to live my life. I try to live my life by the golden rule. That's what I've always been taught. I try to treat people with common decency and respect, and I'm going to keep doing that moving forward, even though I fell short this week.
Great apology. You know, well said there. I personally love what he did.
Throwing the phone down?
Yeah, dude. We got these trolls on the internet here that think they can say and get away with anything. Now it's leaking into the public. Now I'm going to walk up to Jason Kelce and start yelling stuff about his brother because I think nothing's going to happen to me. You know what? For a change, something did happen to you. There was a repercussion for your actions. Maybe that person will know better next time than to go out and be yelling and saying and doing stuff like that. And hey, Jason admits I was wrong. We shouldn't meet hate with hate. You're absolutely right. But eventually, something needs to be done because people are getting a little too overconfident here where we can just say and do whatever we want to other people and there's nothing's going to be done about it. Yeah. So I personally side with what Jason Kelce did and how he reacted.
Yeah. I don't disagree with you. I understand why he would feel some level of remorse here, but I do think it's for the greater good. You gotta put your foot down to some extent. And he didn't hit the guy. Right. He didn't put his bare paws around his neck. Exactly.
Absolutely.
It was kind of a no harm, no foul deal, but also I'm not just gonna let you get away with doing this kind of stuff because then other people see it on the internet and they will feel just as comfortable to do the exact same thing. So I totally get why he reacted that way. It was very emotional. It was in a snap of a moment, but I really don't blame him.
Yeah, I see what you guys are saying, you know, and that was really messed up what that kid was saying to him. But I do think that's a crime, you know, and what the kid did was not a crime. Like taking somebody's phone and breaking it is a crime. And I is that a 12 pack of beer in his hand? I wonder. I think that as he is exploding into stardom, there is a lot of alcohol fueled intensity surrounding him. And most of the time it's fun. Like I think 99% of the time is fun, you know, but I wonder if a guy this public can be on BAC related rampages like this for long.
Yeah. I'm sure that's something that he's going to have to like want. And maybe that did have something to do with it. Like maybe he was several.
I mean, that kind of sounds like post drinking day remorse to me in that clip. Like, man, I was having a good one and maybe I let it get the best of me, you know, like what I kind of expected to hear was, yeah, I've been cracking a little bit at the tailgate or whatever. And I was walking along and, you know, a guy got in my face and it happened. But I also think you guys make a good point, you know, and I wonder what the established, you know, appropriate play is going to make. Are we all right with that now? Athletes taking phones and slamming them because we're going to be asked to be consistent with that, I feel like. You know, and athletes usually don't get that much of a loving reaction from the media.
No. And I think it would have been different. Like if he ended up like beating the crap out of the dude and punching him in the face, like obviously, no, I wouldn't say that. But I do think like these trolls out there, man. Like, if there something needs to be done on the other side of this. Like, you can't just be going around and saying things to other people and it's just totally cool. And we're just going to, hey, everything's fine. Don't worry about that. It's not a crime. It's okay. We're going to look the other way. Yeah. What that dude did wasn't okay, going up and just heckling him and saying all these things about his brother. Like, are you not going to defend your family? I think it's human nature to do so.
Mm-hmm. But he's probably going to have to pull back a little bit on just the public setting. Like, he's a cool, fun dude. He loves being at these tailgates, but it might not be something that you want to venture out into anymore. Yeah.
I mean, so his brother is like dating the most politically charged music star, you know, and it's election day and the build up to it. There's you know, a lot of ignorant things being said, you know, but I feel like, you know, that's kind of what the Internet of Information will do to people, you know, like so passionately against one side. Like, we're not having political disagreements. Like, the other side represents pure evil, you know. So that's why I think people feel so justified in it. Is a result of, you know, on a day like this, I guess, you know, I guess we could talk about it a little bit, but just the political polarization and the echo chamber that people are in, you know. Of course I am. Do you know how bad of a person Taylor Swift is for supporting the candidate she does? I'm out here fighting to be a patriot. You know, this isn't a random act. In that kid's mind, it's not a random act of hate and ignorance. It's him doing his part to save America. That's what touched this off.
Yeah. Last night, Patrick Mahomes, speaking of the Kelsey's, Travis ended up having a pretty darn good game, and I guess Taylor was in attendance. But Mahomes,
you guess
she was.
Monday
she was
Night
there.
Football we made saw. That we very, saw. Very
she
clear. I think she it's after
there.
Every catch.
They're just panning.
They boom, pan to her, boom, and boom. She knows to cheer like he just caught a game winner, even if it was a 5-yarder.
Yeah. And yeah. A lot of them were. I mean, it was
supporting
like,
the hell out of her
one
man.
Of those Jarvis Landry type of stat lines where it was like 20 catches for 50 yards type of thing.
It was still cool, though, because I don't think anybody his age has had that many receptions in a game, wide receiver, tight end or not.
No, he was fantastic. I mean, it was a career high in terms of catches. But
Zach Ertz is kind of coming back around with the Commanders.
Ertz with the
bit.
Commandos. He certainly is.
He was left for dead.
He certainly is. But post game, Todd Bowles, he's got to answer, like, why the hell wouldn't you go for two? Baker has an amazing drive, goes right down the field. This is a scenario. It's Kansas City. It's Mahomes on the other side. If they win the toss, hell, they might. 30 seconds left. They got a chance to maybe kick a field goal and beat you anyway. Yeah. But at least I'm taking my chances with the lead. Todd, why didn't you go for two?
Very minor. We wanted to get it to overtime with the wet conditions on the field. We felt like we had to go in overtime instead of go for two. So we had our shots. You know, we lost the game.
Man. I said it earlier. I just don't.
Yeah, your version sounds a lot better than it was a wet field and yeah. Blah, 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 blah.
David Moore, Dallas Morning News. Brian, why did you not go for two, or why did you kick the field goal? And I'm like, you know, I would have been like, David, listen, you know what? I'm just going to tell you right there. It's 2-time defending Super Bowl champs. I'm playing tonight. Yeah. Okay, mm-hmm. I'm here at this place. It's so damn loud. I can't even hear myself think.
Yep.
Okay, that's Pat Mahomes on the other side of the field over there, and Travis Kelce and all these guys. Imagine trying to block Jones all night. We actually did that for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I went for two because I thought I had no other effing chance to win this game. My team came here. We played hard. We got beat by this team, you know? And you know what? That shuts everybody up.
Yeah.
That just shuts everybody up. Your justification is we came in here as underdogs.
Yeah.
You know, tying and taking this thing to overtime is going to get us beat.
Yeah.
You know, you have to strike when you have momentum. You have to. And I, you know what, that's the wet field and all that. They've been playing on the wet field the whole game. You managed to work out everything on the wet field. You know, you got the game to where it needed to be.
It's advantage offense in a slippery field.
Yes. You got Baker Mayfield, man. He ain't going to make a mistake. Go for two.
Mm-hmm.
Go win that game. And, you know, if you lose, it's like, and if people are questioning that, then they're not watching football.
The only way you play for overtime is if you're just the better team and you're like, there's no way this team, it's been a comedy of errors to keep them this close.
Yeah.
Right? We can beat them if we line up and get a full regular play. But, I mean, it's kind of like playing against the casino. Your best chance against the casino is to go in and place your bet on one. And if you win, you're done. But that gets you close to 50-50. The longer you play against a team with a probability advantage, the more it goes in their edge.
No, you absolutely, you have them on their heels.
Yeah.
You have them on their heels with the drive. And now you've got to finish this thing off. You got to call your best two-point play and go win that football game.
I hear you, man. Okay.
I mean, real quick, I swear, Brian Kelly did it against Nick Saban. You know, LSU went against Alabama, went two-point play, and won the game. I've never been so happy for a two-point play in my life because I did not want to go to overtime against Alabama.
Yeah.
You just don't. That's damn Alabama. That's Nick Saban. Come on.
Yeah. Okay, the Cowboys are releasing a player they traded for in the summer, right? Defensive tackle Jordan Phillips is okay. No longer a Cowboy. What else could be in store? We got the C-Note, Cowboys news of the evening, and continued reaction to their trade coming up next with you, the G-Back Nation on 105.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
Three, the fan. All right, welcome back, G-Bag Nation. Hope you're having a good day. Time now for the C-Note, Cowboys news of the evening on an NFL trade deadline. Election Day, Toxic Tuesday here with you on 105.3 The Fan. A little bit of Cowboys breaking news just a few minutes ago. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is injured in an accident due to somebody's negligence, call the Frankels and get a free consultation. 214 or 817-333-3333. Go online to frankelfirm.com. Cowboys releasing defensive tackle Jordan Phillips. Didn't they actually make a trade for this dude? Like in the middle of training camp?
Yeah, the Giants. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yep. So just another piece of, you know, bad trade news here for this Cowboys team. Why didn't it go better for Jordan Phillips, Brian?
I will tell you this, though, with Jordan Phillips, this becomes my new player that when you watch the tape and then you watch him play, it's not the same player. And I wonder, I felt like watching him play at Buffalo, and you could go back and watch him play against Dallas, and what he was able to do, how disruptive he was, you know, beating Tyron Smith for a sack. I mean, there were a lot of really positive things. Watch him against the Commanders. I mean, he was a big part of some of the stuff that they were doing. And then he goes to the Giants, and they have a bunch of young guys that they were playing and liked. But, man, this guy takes over as the guy you watched and is not the same player once you got him. So this is unfortunate for the Cowboys. I felt like this guy was going to be a guy that could play the three technique with some size, you know, sideline to sideline type player, get up the field. just not even the same guy.
That's unfortunate. Nothing has gone right in what appears to be a snake bit season for these Dallas Cowboys. Everything on the field and the games that could possibly go wrong, they put it on the turf three times. You only get one of them. Any of the other two could have been a potential game-breaking moment on Sunday. They just cannot catch a break. What do you think about some of this local coverage of the story? Ed Werder's take is interesting to me. He says, just so you know, whether you like the Cowboys trade for Jonathan Mingo or oppose it, Jerry Jones is not alone in making such personnel moves. He has the GM title, but Mike McCarthy's involved. Will McClay and the scouting personnel staff are evaluating and making recommendations. The trade's to improve the wide receiver core for now and future seasons. And I hope it can improve. I hope it's not a Trey Lance version of a wide receiver where there's just a sliver of hope that there's still a little bit of upside in there. Usually, wide receivers in today's game, Brian, they come in ready to rock. Like when we were growing up, it would take a year or two receiver to get ready. Now, if you can't play in the middle of year two, I don't think you can play.
Yeah, it's funny how these things have changed. There was a time where you're absolutely right, where you know rookies just, especially wide receiver, but now we've got more rookies that have been plug and play.
Yeah,
and come in and done. You know, look what Neighbors has been able to do. I mean, you know, the start he had in Chicago, in New York, and got a little hurt, but man, I mean, these guys, and there are a lot of them. I mean, Zach and I know we evaluate a lot of these wide receivers. You get down into the third, fourth, fifth round, and some of these guys are stepping up. Puka Nacua,
yeah,
you know, all of a sudden, you know, I mean, Puka Nacua and a lot of people's boards, you know, was not playing as like in your BYU, and you're watching like, oh, he's a good player, but you know, would I take him? Heck, you would take Puka Nacua now, like in the first, second round.
The way
that he's played. So yeah, these guys have done a much better job of running a lot of routes, catching a lot of balls with the way college's offenses are, and then transition right into the NFL.
You know, the thing that really hurts here, I think, is that it's going to be a top 10 pick in the fourth round. You know, so
that's
if it would have been a late fourth, you could say, well, it's basically a fifth. We overpaid a little bit, but we need it.
Well,
you know,
and they got back a seven, and so they're probably thinking like, okay, we got a player. We got a seven. We gave up a fourth. Maybe that's a fifth. I'm just, you know, squint, and you can see what I'm talking about, right?
Might be the top pick in the seventh round.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, that's the thing. I know. I'm just trying to think of ways that you kind of talk yourself into this.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is the thing that bothers me, because I guarantee you, Wolchek and I, and a lot of others, will be doing draft work, and we're gonna love to have that pick at the top of the fourth round. If the season progresses as is, and you say you're somewhere between 9 and 11 picking, man, that's going to be a premium pick right there. I really do hope the pro department with the Cowboys have got this one lined up, and it's going to work out.
That's prime running back territory there at the top of the fourth, you know, but maybe they're looking at all the comp picks they got in the fifth, like they have some extra to burn. Mishota has posted a story up on it, more on the trade. I had the fifth worst catch percentage in the league last year and this season, and have been passed in the depth chart by a pair of rookies, obviously Xavier Leggett, but also undrafted rookie Jalen Coker.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's just a sign of where he was in Carolina and how, you know, far off he had fallen. On draft night, they take him and Bryce Young, and they're thinking, hey, here's a great wide receiver quarterback combination for the future, and they haven't got any good games out of the combo.
No.
He looked at what Jerry said with Sean and RJ yesterday. Jones said he had no interest in that, making it clear we're buying and not selling, had no interest in selling, because Jones still has hopes of Dallas turning its season around. We're going to have to do something that's a storybook type of scenario. I've been part of a couple of those, and it can happen. I don't know. I guess you're talking about the Amari Cooper turnaround. But
yeah,
I mean, we are looking for the first evidence that Jonathan Mingo is going to be a rotational wide receiver. You know, like, I think it's kind of a pipe dream right now to think he could potentially be a number two. This is another depth body that's not going to save your season. Like, I mean, how big of a surprise would it be if he's, you know, significantly better than Tolbert and Brooks and Turpin?
That's your hope if you're a Cowboy fan. That's your hope right there. And you know, in the front office, they do have a lot of hope in Tolbert. I mean, and last week in the game, Tolbert was pretty open, you know, and some of the opportunities that they just didn't get him the football. But that's, you know, that's where now this kid's going to come in, and he's going to have an opportunity. But they need a second receiver right now. They need somebody to step up behind CD and make some plays. And maybe this big body guy will do that for him.
940, Jerry's too old to sell. 817, Mingo looks like an old Dez Bryant. That's a decent comp, actually.
He's a big Dez body. Is a good-looking guy, yeah.
He's faster.
He is faster. 4.46 at the combine. And you could see some burst, coming in the routes and stuff like that. I just look at this and I just think the quarterback play was just awful. You know, it's just awful.
Yeah.
And that's like, okay, here's a guy that you liked. He had a pretty good college career. He was second team all Southeastern Conference. You know, and he's young. Maybe you got a guy. Maybe you do, because like I say, I was watching Young and Andy Dalton throw the ball, and I'm like, God, they can't even get it to him.
Well, if they got it figured out, I'll bow to that front office and be like, man, you got one. That is fantastic.
Yeah.
I don't know of a lot of great wide receiver evaluations they've done, over the last decade or so. Obviously, the CeeDee Lamb pick fell in their lap. Dez Bryant was a great pick 15 years ago. The Michael Gallup pick was good. Maybe they overvalued him once they had him in house.
I did. Would you consider trading for Coop? Worked out pretty good.
Yeah.
It saved your season that year.
I'm just looking for, and they had to give up a one. And there were a lot of questions about Coop. Mm-hmm. And he's quiet. He doesn't care about football. You know, a lot of people were throwing some dirt on that cat. You know, we're all like, and I was sitting here reporting it like, well, I heard this and heard that and all of it, you know. I mean, hey, Coop's Coop. We talked to him for a year, you know, enjoyed doing that. But he's a hell of a football player. You just hope this one works out the same way.
RJ Ochoa has the last 10 players that the Cowboys acquired via trade. And now that's Jonathan Mingo's, Jordan Phillips, Andrew Booth, Noah Igbinoghene, Trey Lance, Brandon Cooks, Stephon Gilmore, and Jonathan Hankins. Those are three that were, those were wins.
Yeah.
And then Eli Inoku and Everson Griffin. I mean, it was Hankins, Gilmore, and Cooks. I mean, you're basically 30% of your last 10 trades have really done anything for you.
Kind of bottom fishing and batting 300.
Yeah.
You know, not too bad.
The thing with Noah, that was getting rid of your boss man Fat there. You know, they got rid of him. I mean, that was player for player right there, right?
Mm-hmm.
You were giving up one of your...
same thing with Booth, with Wright.
Kelvin Joseph, you were giving up your guy, and they were like, yeah, we really didn't want
our
guy
anymore.
It just
all comes back to the compensation, you know, to me.
Like, I think that's the thing. That's the thing I'm struggling with. I'm glad they traded for player. I don't particularly like giving a fourth-round pick when we're a team. I don't think it's going anywhere.
Yeah, if it'd be a six, I think we'd be like, all right, you know, a guy with some upside for the future. Saad Youssef points out he was a 30 visit when in the draft process.
He was, yeah.
You know, I think this does go back to the similarity of Trey Lance, that they get a draft grade on a guy and it kind of sticks around. Then more from Mashota. Mingo broke out in Lane Kiffin's explosive Ole Miss offense, a scheme that features an incredibly basic route tree. Mm. He was a flash player to be sure, but lacked route nuance and blocking chops. Mm. Nick Baumgartner, draft analyst, says Mingo has improved in many of those areas in his short run as a pro. Hard worker and all that. So he's only had 12 catches this season. The Panthers offense has been broken since he walked in the door. Not as versatile as the athletic profile suggests. And he still has room to grow as a big bodied ex receiver who knows how to get open and blocks his tail off on every rep.
He plays it. And we'll get into it at 3:40. I'll give you the scouting report about it. Because he lines up in a lot of different places for this, he did for Carolina.
Okay, coming up at 4 o'clock, we have a sports hodgepodge. We'll do a rim sesh coming up at 4:40. But Krusty's Corner is coming up next, Brian. What is in store?
Yeah, let me give you a scouting report on this player, and then we'll also, I have some questions for my guys if we can get to them. We'll do that next.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. G-Bag Nation, 105.3 The Fan. An hour away from a rim session, we'll talk about this Dallas Mavericks 4-3 start segment here. Krusty's Corner brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning. Gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Here's Broadus.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. Saw a clip from Chris Long on talking about the Jason Kelce situation. He goes, there's a group of people in this country or in this world that have grown up without getting punched in the face.
Ooh.
So that was pretty interesting.
Man, there's a kid in Abby's grade in Sunnyvale, eighth grade right now.
Yeah.
I think this dude has punched at least 75% of the boys in the face.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, before he gets to high school.
See, that's
what... She used to have epic stories of recess.
Yeah, I think
dudes like fighting eight people at the same time.
Yeah.
Good fighter. Pretty good little wide receiver, too.
He just said, we have a group of folks in this country that have never been punched in the face.
Yeah,
that's probably why people act the way they do.
Social media age is trickling into real life.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know how what you're really supposed to do to stop it.
Yeah.
Just all right. Punch him in the face.
Punch him in the face. All right, Jonathan Mingo. We've talked about him for the last, really, for the last hour and 45 minutes or so. But I kind of wanted to throw my two cents out there. And so I always take the opportunity to try and look at these guys, right or wrong. I appreciate you guys out there for kind of hanging with me on it. I saw, you know, before we get started, anybody want to comment about anything? I know you guys got just a brief little look of the anything you want to throw out there that you saw or something like. I mean, the size obviously is a good looking thing. You know, there's just not a whole lot of production there right now. But
I think he can do a lot more than what he's done so far this year.
Yeah.
I think the Panthers offense looked at him and said, well, you know, we can't do a lot. But this athlete who can break tackles, we're going to get him the ball close to the line of scrimmage and, you know, maybe try to pull the defense, you know, up with that. And I just don't think it's worked out very well because they can't block anybody.
Right.
You know,
right.
So I think it is a tough evaluation. But, you know, you do have to have respect for the Panthers coaching staff that had him so far down the depth chart on a massively losing team,
right.
a pathetic offense. You know, I'm hoping you can, you know, give me some traits here to help us, you know, be a little bit more optimistic about it.
Chief, you're Wooly, you got anything on that? You want to, Chief, Wooly, about the Ole Miss stuff. Did you have any Ole Miss thoughts?
Yeah, I pulled up my notes on him. It was basically like, you know, he's got a strong lower half, really, really thick build, right? And then good at catching traffic, good yak guy, certainly a good blocker, was played outside, played in the slot as well. I thought he took a little while to get going to top speed if you wanted to throw the ball deep to him.
Mm-hmm.
But he certainly is a guy that didn't get a whole lot of separation.
Yeah,
that was something
that's
that
from
had.
The Ole Miss. Those are
that
Ole
was from
Miss.
College. Yep. Yeah, no Ole doubt. Miss. And hey, I mean that isn't a good situation there in Carolina. So the hope is change of scenery. It's just still crazy to me. You give up a four when everyone else in the league is like, that's two rounds too much. That's what's upsetting. It's not the lack of Mingo can be a good player.
Right.
It's just why every time does it seem like this team's either overpaying or they're not getting return when the rest of the league seems to be able to do this.
Yeah.
Chief. Yeah, I think that's all fair. When you watch it, when you showed us some of that stuff, you're right. Like everything just right around the line of scrimmage, depending on him to get some yak.
Right.
You wonder about how far he is down the depth chart. It's a second round pick. You invested a lot in him, but then they had the turnover with the regime. So now you have no sponsors in there and you kind of just get kicked to the curb a little bit.
Yeah, I think now with no four, you got to think about a running back at one because you can't get one at four.
There you go.
You don't have a pick.
See, now we're talking. Now we're building championship football teams.
Now we're building championship football teams. All right. And my guys are right here. He is a big guy. He's 6'3". He's 220. He does play inside and out is what he does. The club like to put him on the move. You can see this guy playing like as a motion guy and stuff.
Right.
And they'll line him up in the backfield too, and then they'll like swing it out to him, trying to get him the ball on the move, and then let him be physical with ball in hand. He's got a really good split as far as the wide plays and then his slot plays, you know. So, but he's had some production out of the slot, but mainly when you put him on the left hand side, that's where he's kind of been a little bit slot left. That seems to have worked out. He had seven catches, mainly of his 12 out of that left slot. So, I think he gets a little bit better separation though when he plays on the outside than he does in the slot. So, like I say, you could use him inside or outside. He's not the quickest guy for the slot, but that big body getting in the ball quick and then allowing him to do something with it. He does make a lot of receptions, like Chief was talking about, in that 0 to 9 yard range. So that's kind of, they call it short in the metrics world. That's kind of where where a lot of his catches are. That's really been the case for him the past two seasons. He's had his share of trouble in the middle of the field, and that's down the field. And I think that's a little bit more because his quarterbacks, the slants and things like that he runs, the in-breaking routes. Andy Dalton couldn't get him the ball. Young couldn't get him the ball, you know, when he had some opportunity. I just remember the one deep shot I saw, I believe it was against the Broncos, where they threw it down the field on a vertical, and it was intercepted. They just can't. There's just a connection. Just haven't been able to make that connection with deep balls in the first couple of seasons with him. I think he runs well for a big guy. I talked about the run after catch with the ball in his hands. I think he's physical. I think he's tough. I think he'll use his size to try and bully people with the ball. I do feel like, though, that there's times when he fights the football catching it. I did see a drop where he was alone. He just missed it. Sometimes you have concentration problems, and you just, you know, you're in the middle of the field, you're by yourself, and they throw the ball and it hits you, and you just drop the ball. He double caught a ball, and when I mean double caught it, like it hit his hands, it bounced up, and then he grabbed it on the second. That was when he was going away in the flat. But he, you know, that's something you probably need to keep an eye on about him. You know,
so a double catch isn't good.
You just want to be able to snatch that ball with your hands. You want to be able to catch it, put it away. When you body catch or double catch, how sure are you with
something
your hands?
Could happen? You get hit, now the ball pops in the air. Yeah. You just want to get it clean.
I feel like you should get more PPR points.
Yeah,
you get a double catch.
Double catch. Well, yeah, like what happened the other day with Dowdle in the end zone. That was a double catch right there. That was a good job with him. But he's dealt with a ton of tight window throws. I don't think this is his biggest strength. You know, I don't think when they've asked him to kind of, when guys have been on him, I don't know if this is his biggest strength with the hands and stuff like that. So we'll see. He runs a lot of in-breaking routes. Those are the things, that's what they were trying to do with him. He got targeted about 15% of the time. I looked at the metrics. I was thinking, okay, how many routes are you going to see inside? And because, you know, being that big guy, 15% of the snaps. He hasn't had a reception this year when facing press coverage. For a guy this big, I looked that up. I'm like thinking, how does he do when he's, you know, he's playing, having to deal with man-on-man stuff, you know, one-on-one stuff. But he hasn't had a reception this year when facing press. He's faced press coverage 24 times this season. And he's got 5 targets and no receptions. Something to keep an eye on there.
You would think for a big body guy.
And he's played special teams in multiple games. So, you know, that's a possibility. If you're going to get him on, if he's not one of your top, you know, receivers, well, you can work him in, but he's also played special teams. So that's something that maybe Bones Fossil could use him with that big body. So that's what I saw with this particular player.
So what kind of a role do you think you would be advocating for without having the opportunity to see him play in the Cowboy offense?
Well, he's like Chief was talking about, the routes that he runs, the in-breaking stuff, the slants, the curls, the hooks, the hitches, you know? I mean,
it's going to be much of the same, really.
It's going to be a lot of the same. But it's just how accurately can, you know, Cooper Rush get him the ball until, you know, Dak gets back? You know, but a lot of the routes that he ran at Carolina are routes they run here with the Cowboys.
But can he do it? Can he do it better than all the guys not named CeeDee Lamb? Because that's the only way you justify giving up a 4. Is if you think he will be better than Tolbert and Brooks, right?
I tell you what, I would take Brooks over him right now myself. I've seen Brooks, like I say, I've seen Brooks get open, and I haven't seen him get the ball like he now. There's been some, you know, if you look at this Cowboy. This receiving core in this game the other day, we talk about tight window throws. He had 9 tight window throws, only 2 receptions by the whole receiving crew in that Atlanta game. And the 2 receptions were CeeDee Lamb. They've got to find somebody. If they're not going to separate from people, or routes are not going to allow them to separate from people, they've got to find a way to make some of these tight window catches is what they have to do. So
are you thinking at all that they have, what, 4 fifth round picks that, hey, we have so many picks here on day 3, we can afford to take a shot here with this 4.
I think they're banking on their college notes is what they're banking on here. This is, to me, this is very reminiscent of what they did with Trey Lance. You know, I guarantee I could ask somebody over there, like, oh, what grade did you have on Mingo? They're going to tell me, oh, he was a 1, 2, 3. That's the grade. You know, it's a, you know, the 1, don't pay attention. The 2 is the second round grade. The 3 tells you, where is he, high up in the second round? Is he in the middle of the board, or is he at the bottom? If he's a 1, 2, 9, he'd be at the bottom of the board. Whereas Trey Lance was a 1, 2, 0. He was the top player in the second round. I guarantee you they had a second round grade on this guy. And they feel like that, hey, let's go ahead and just give the 4. We got a guy that we really, really liked. He was young. We'll see. I think they're banking on the fact that quarterback play was so bad for Carolina that they could do something with that. You know, and they like big body guys. That's something that's, you look at the history of the Cowboys and how they've played with guys that have some, you know, go back to the Roy Williams, the Dez Bryants, guys with big, you know, big bodies and stuff. That's how they play. I mean, I hope he does work out for him though. But like I say, the fourth round pick, just kind of fourth round pay, I think is a little steep.
Brian Broaddus, Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning here in the G-Bag Nation as we got two down, three to go. Sports Hodgepodge coming up next, Chief.
Yes, let's relive the funniest moment from the sports night and move over Bruce Pearl. Move over Sean Miller. There's a new sweaty man in town.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.